News of the day, the Commanders moving on from both coordinators. They have fired Joe Witt Jr. They have mutually parted ways with Cliff Kingsbury, who's going to get some head coaching interviews. I wonder if he gets a job. I think it's possible he does. More likely, though, he's an OC somewhere else. I'd be shocked if he doesn't get an OC job in this cycle.
You would think, right? I mean, again, there are enough pelts on the wall. I mean, this always happens when a season goes bad. Everybody wants to blame, you know, this coach, and all of a sudden he got stupid or whatever, right? And that happens. That's normal. That's part of the business. But there are enough pelts on the wall. There's enough quarterbacks developed, enough yards achieved, enough, you know, yak, and a bunch of things that are pretty positive for that guy to go without a job for too long.
What a league this is. Yeah. I mean, he was the hottest name on offense a year ago.
And we're doing a little mini parade because I can't believe they were able to keep him. I can't believe it happened.
Outside of Ben Johnson, I don't think there was anybody who had a bigger, hotter glow up offensively in 2024 than Kingsbury. And now, less than a calendar year later, Washington lost 12 games and he's essentially fired. They'll call it something else, but the team wants to move on from him, is happy to move on from him. By the way, he'll be triple dipping in his next job because he'll be still getting paid for one more year by the Cardinals, who fired him years ago. Now he's got 1 year left on this deal with Washington. And then if he gets another gig, a third job, he will then get a third paycheck from that new team. Not a bad gig if you can get it.
Seriously.
For Cliff Kingsbury. Where do I get one of those? Yeah,
in demand enough to get signed to a long-term contract, but, you know, tough enough to work with that you're not under contract anymore, but you still owe the money.
Real quick on the defensive side, I asked John Keim about this idea of Dan Quinn possibly calling his own plays and being his own defensive coordinator. He was actually asked about that in the press conference yesterday. And this is what Quinn had to say in the presser with the media on the possibility of calling plays. It'll be cut 19 here, Darius. Or, you know, would he go outside the building to hire a DC? He said everything was on the table.
Yeah, it's a good question, Mitch. I think what I've learned is make the best decision for what the team needs. And so as we're going through this, man, a lot to gain through these exit interviews, where we're at. And but that's really where I'm at. I'm not into that space yet. I'm definitely doing this. I'm definitely not. What I do know, that I'll be heavily involved, you know, one way or another. And that's part that I do enjoy. But, I think I'll keep an open mind, you know, as I'm going through the next, you know, parts of the process.
I cannot see him calling his own defensive plays.
I
know
I don't want
he did it this year and it got better and he did a nice job and he's really good at it. So, cool. Congratulations. Sticker on the helmet, whatever. Dude, this is such an important year for you, man. You got one last shot at this thing. You really want to multitask? You really want to try to get timeouts right, which you couldn't this year?
Which you couldn't do, exactly.
Challenges right, handle all the stuff you have to on the sideline, and, oh, by the way, call defensive plays when you might be able to get Jonathan Gannon or Jeff Ulbricht would be a great hire. I'd be steamed for, like, Brian Flores, which isn't happening. Like, somebody like that's available. You could go that route, or you could do it yourself. Don't do it yourself. Go get a grown-up. You have a chance. Spend Josh Harris's money on an awesome defensive coordinator.
The point of a guy like Dan Quinn isn't to, you know, power grab like Rivera or, you know, a guy with, I can't have someone with more authority than me in the building. The point of him is this relationship building, bridge building type dude. So get a guy that's a better defensive coordinator than him. I mean, the results for Dan Quinn being in charge of defenses ain't all that great, to be honest with you. It's bookended. There are a couple really seminal things that got him on this head coaching path with Seattle when they were unbelievable in yards, points, turnovers, you know how great the Legion of Boom was. Other than that, it's not a lot of impressive rankings with the exception of some takeaways when he was the DC in Dallas. They're giving up yards and points, but at least there's something that you could say is a positive attribute. None of those things have traveled with him the two times he's been a head coach, right? The takeaways aren't there. The yards aren't there. The points aren't there. None of it has been any good. So you got to do something different than you've done before. Go get a badass. Again, I would throw every dollar at Jim Schwartz, for example, just to say, I know it's somebody, your boss is out in Cleveland. I know Schwartz will probably be a head coaching candidate, but that's not the trend line.
I doubt he'll get a job.
I wouldn't think so. Every dollar, all the commas, all the zeros, whatever he wants, he's my DC. As you said, so much is on the line right now. Your handpicked guys, two of them are gone, vapor, because you changed your mind and the results were terrible. You got to get it right.
800-636-1067. You want to hop in? We'll get to the calls in a second. I keep coming back to the fact that this feels like a very traditional defensive-minded coach butts heads with offensive coach over run-pass balance and some of those types of things. Very like Mike Zimmer in Minnesota, you know?
Mm-hmm.
How often do you see this? It's one of these old tripes. It's one of these old things where it's like you go defensive-minded, kind of old-school culture builder. You've got this newer thinker offensively, and the defensive-minded guy eventually just decides, this is not how I want to
do it. It's one of the subplots of Any Given Sunday. They got that from real life. You know, it's obvious.
Let's go to CJ in New Jersey on the Fan. CJ, big news for the Commanders today. Cliff Kingsbury's out.
Yes. Hey, fellas. Calling in just to say, like, I know that Cliff is gone and next is Dan Quinn. When you think about it, we had Chris Moore, 32 years old, starting for Jaden Daniels, wide receiver one. That's malpractice, number one. Number two, how can you cook with these ingredients? I think that we have a bigger issue here in that no matter what OC we get, we need to be able to run the football. It might be an unpopular take. I believe we get Jeremiah Love. You get a transitional running back who can transcend the running game. You get a Ferrari. I'm tired of these punch and play guys. We should not have a 3 or 4 down running back. Get a bell cow. Give some relief to Jaden Daniels. And hopefully Josh Connerly can put on some more weight.
So this is actually an interesting point. People will hear this. I know, Danny, you will hear that. And you'll like hate everything about it, right? But let me just draw this link. If they really want to be this run and D team, okay? If they really want to be this run dominant old school football team, why don't they act like it in how they've built this thing? What did they do at left tackle? They went out and they got a white collar, elite pass blocking tackle who's decent in the run game. That's not what you do when you want to be a mauling team to go get the highest paid left tackle in the league because of pass protection. Now, by the way, I love the move. I want Laremy Tunsil. Yeah. I'm paying Laremy Tunsil. But my point is, that doesn't really go with like this identity that you hired Cliff Kingsbury. That tells you you're not trying to be ground and pound, a complementary defense-led football team. Or else, what are you doing? You can't keep telling me about how you want to be the fit person who does all the right things, but then you eat fast food and you
just
don't work
cake,
out.
Yeah.
You know, if really it's true that they want to be this run first, run dominant team, why is your starting running back a 7th round pick? Or when it's not, it's a 6th round pick from another regime that almost got cut this year and got cut a couple times.
Yeah, what happens, it looks like you changed your mind. It looks like the vision that you had for yourself all of a sudden went out the door. And again, the part that I care about, maybe other people don't, but I do. Kingsbury, according to their own videos, had some influence on a number of picks. Think Josh Connerly, for example. And I'm sure he was probably consulted when it came to Ben Sinnott. I'm sure he was probably consulted when it came to, I don't know, Jaden Daniels.
But if you do want to be that, Danny, then you should draft Jeremiah Love. Then you should sign a running back for $15 million a year. You should have been a player for Saquon Barkley. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you're not acting like it. You shouldn't be spending big money on Deebo Samuel and Terry McLaurin or $28 million on Daron Payne and another $17 million on Javon Kinlaw or whatever.
Right.
Like, but act like it.
Would you, I mean, Sugar, I was going with that, though, just tangentially. It's there was a lot of influence for that guy in the building in terms of who was selected to fit that scheme, that design, that idea. They wouldn't trade it for Deebo Samuel, as a toy that would be perfect in this kind of offense, right? Their offseason actions, to your point, had nothing to do with this, if we believe it, this new design or this new paradigm that they wanted to implement. You've now wasted 2 years, basically, if that's the case. You want to go do something totally different. That's very Snyder-esque. That's very Bruce Allen, where it's like, you know what we need is quicker, smaller receivers after a year. We need bigger receivers, just sort of, you know, running from one side to the other. You've wasted 2 years of an attempted build if that's really what you want to do.
Bob in Tennessee listening on the Odyssey app on Grant and Danny. What's up, Bob? How are you?
All right. How you guys doing?
Good, buddy.
Hi, Robert.
I don't know about you, but this kind of is exciting. I know it's bad on the one hand, but it got my interest. It's interesting. It's, you know, which is kind of what makes, you know. But here's the thing. I honestly believe it boils down to this. I don't know if they were, quote, looking for another OC or they didn't like Cliff. I think this is what I personally believe. It's an opinion that Quinn went to him and told him he wants certain changes. And that's about it. Like, and maybe he detailed what those changes were. My feeling is Cliff said, no, I will run my offense the way I run my offense. Kind of like the out of that movie, Few Good Men,
right.
Colonel Jessup. I don't know that for sure, but I suspect that's where the parting of the ways came.
Well, there's some element of that.
Something to that, yeah.
They had a meeting to go over their visions. Their visions are not copacetic. If you're desperate to keep your job, Cliff could just say, yeah, you got it. What do you want me to do? We'll do it. You want to be under center? Done. You want to be in the gun less? No problem. I don't think those are the issues, by the way. You want to run the ball more? I don't know how they could possibly want that. They ran it 60% of the time on first and 10, but whatever. Like, he was – Cliff Kingsbury wants to run his offense. I always say this about Steve Spurrier back in the day. Spurrier gives over play calling duties to Hugh Jackson.
Hated it.
Steven Davis goes 26 for 105. They win the game. Steve Spurrier was miserable after the game. His whole point was, I want to see if my thing works in this level. Cliff Kingsbury wants to be Cliff Kingsbury. He doesn't want to be your version of Cliff Kingsbury. Kevin in Arlington, what's good?
Hey, guys. So I want to step back for a sec, okay? Let's just look at all the hires. We go hire Adam Peters, consensus best opportunity there to get the GM that everybody wants, you know, the Princeton waiter. But that GM, to my knowledge, hasn't changed the head of college scouting or any of the college scouts. Then you hire Dan Quinn, who today is a 500 coach who got to a Super Bowl but gave up the biggest lead ever and lost with Hall of Fame capable quarterback and Matt Ryan. Okay, and that, you know, you've now got a situation where his choices, which, well, first of all, I wanted Vrabel. Then I was considering Harbaugh. I didn't want Quinn, but I got talked into it, okay? And then Quinn goes and he gets Kingsbury, who, to me, failed in Arizona and runs an offense that's fabulous for college but not necessarily the NFL. And then we didn't know what Joe Witt was. Well, now we do. Well, here we are 2 years later from the hiring of Adam Peters. We're without our coordinators. We have major reservations about Quinn, the culture builder. I mean, on the one hand, they didn't quit on him. Okay, fine. You want a culture builder? Go down to Bloomington and talk Kurt Cignetti and come in. That's a culture builder. Okay, I haven't seen this culture build. What I saw last year, if you're boiling it down, was the fantastic play of Jaden Daniels. It certainly was enabled some by Cliff, et cetera. But that, in retrospect, look at how much Jaden Daniels was the reason we won 12 games as opposed to 6 games or fewer a year ago. And so that's kind of where I'm at. We're back at square one, boys. Tell me I'm wrong. What have I said that's wrong?
Cosign.
I didn't stop you.
Yeah.
I mean, we let you roll there for a reason. The problem is how quickly this all escalated from a year ago. And now, before they can make the number 7 pick, before they get to free agency, I really genuinely believe they have to hit these coordinating hires, and it's a bigger deal than who they take at 7. The biggest decision they'll make all offseason is OC. The second biggest is DC. And then the player stuff, I don't care where you rank it, it's somewhere thereafter, probably starting with either their biggest free agent splash money-wise or pick 7.